For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
Hey everybody, what's happening? Show number two here on this lovely Friday. It's a week in review episode of Fantasy NBA Today. This is a Sports Ethos presentation. I am your host, Dan Bespris. Even still, after all this time, I remain Dan Bespris. I'm at Dan Bespris on Twitter. That's really, I say follow me on social media, but I don't use the other ones. I'm too old for ticking and talking or gramming. I know people my age use Instagram. I get it. My age does not match my internal clock. So, sorry. It's Twitter only. But that's fine, because that's where you go if you want the quick stuff. That's what we do anyway. Quick note here before we dive in on a big show. I want to remind everybody that baseball season is upon us. If any of you that listen to this show follow baseball, please go listen to my good buddy Joe's show. It's Fantasy MLB Today. Easy, right? This is Fantasy NBA Today. It's Fantasy MLB Today. That is available on all normal platforms. Some of them episodes also showing up here on the YouTube page. And go check out the Baseball Draft Guide, which is available in the Baseball Fantasy Pass or the All Sport Pass, which is probably my top suggestion since many of you have the NBA one. Anyway, we're going to be talking about, and you can see this on your screen. In fact, we'll make it just a little bit bigger for you. There we go. It's a week 21 in review. You guys can tell me it's week 20. It's not. It's period 20. But remember, 2 weeks got combined over the All-Star break. This is actually the 21st week of the NBA season. So I'm just going by chunks of seven. Okay? Keeping it simple. No weirdness for scheduling quirks. It's going to focus mostly on the games over the last 4 to 5 days. It might creep into the last weekend. But more than anything, I want to remind everybody, this show, as all of our recap shows, is not about schedules. That's what the other show is for. This show is about guys you can potentially hold for extreme, small, short length production. Rest of season guys, things of that nature. If you're looking for your quick hitter streamer, that's our other daily show. That's why I did two shows every single day this week. And last week, come to think of it. And a reminder, of course, to follow me on Twitter at Dan Bespris, follow Ethos Fantasy BK, and like, rate, and subscribe, especially if you're new. There's always one new person. That's the way I try to treat every single podcast episode. So please, if you're new, subscribe. If you're old or new, hit the like button on Twitter, on YouTube, whatever. Rate the show. That all goes a long way. Let's get into the ads. This is your favorite thing of the week, so we'll break these suckers down. Matisse Thybulle. And yes, obviously, some of this has to do with games when Jeremy Grant is out, games when Anthony Simons is out, games where Malcolm Brogdon continues to be out. Well, I get it. Player Shaedon Sharpe. Portland's got a lot of guys that have rotated into and out of the lineup. But here's the thing. Now that they've fully embraced the tank, things often change in just the way a team plays basketball. It gets more open. They don't play much in the way of like legitimate defense. Guys are not going to sell out and take a bunch of charges when they know their team isn't really trying all that hard to win. So what you're going to get is this weird flip, and it happens every year with teams that are tanking. And frankly, it happens a lot just at the end of a season because you get... The closer you get to the end of the season, the more teams that have basically given up on the year, and you start to see players say, oh, well, they're still trying out there. Yeah, but it's just a slightly different kind of try. And I say this because it reflects favorably on guys who get big-time fantasy stats in junk ball. So for Thybulle, a guy who, I mean, this is a dude who in starters minutes can average 4 defensive stats, even when a game kind of matters a little bit, he can average over three. But once the games get so woolly like this, nobody's taking care of the basketball. Nobody really cares. No one's taking the Blazers seriously. They're just going to come in and throw it around, and they know they're going to win at the end of the 48 minutes. Dybul's going to be getting steals and blocks at an even better rate than prior Dybul. The way that he pushes himself up the board farther is by hitting a three-pointer or grabbing a rebound. And some of that stuff happens. Some of that stuff doesn't. Some of it has to do with the other guys that are on the court. But right now, just the way that Portland's playing games as a team, it's pretty easy for him to hit top 100 value almost on two categories alone. Amen Thompson. He was a probable ad when Alperen Şengün went down a week ago. About a week ago, a little bit less than that, with an injury that now we know is keeping him out for the rest of the regular season. The assumption there was that Thompson would pick up at least four or five of the Şengün minutes with the Rockets going smaller. Indeed, it looks like that's probably going to happen. And he has an extremely robust fantasy game that now we're getting shown a little bit more. And we saw it a bit when Freddie VanVleet was out. That was sort of like the, oh, Amen Thompson, this guy can put up some damn fantasy stats. Well, Şengün being out is creating the same-ish, not the same, slightly less, but a similarly interesting, is probably a better way to describe it, avenue. And so Thompson's someone that needs to be rostered everywhere. I generally feel the same way about Thybul. Now, obviously, if a couple guys come back for Portland, then maybe his job shrinks up a little bit, but it doesn't feel like that's not going to happen. Portland's given guys rest days all over the place. That as long as Thybul's not one of the ones getting it. Anyway, Andrew Wiggins is a little bit farther down my board, but I do think he's an ad for Golden State. He's sort of a low-end guy, but belongs on rosters as he's now sort of gotten his legs back underneath him. Not my favorite if you don't want to pick him up. Honestly, I don't care. And frankly, maybe he belongs in the doesn't matter group that we talk about on the show now. Guys that are just going to sit between 100 and 150, and there's almost no difference between them, and there's almost no difference if you play him or you don't. There's also a shot that this next name, Bruce Brown, also ends up in that group. But with Gary Trent out, I think Brown stays above that threshold. That means that there's enough shot, basically, field goal attempt available to where Bruce can be more than just five rebound, five assist, and hope for some other stuff guy. It's suddenly, okay, well, we're probably going to get you 10 shots a ball game. When Trent comes back, I don't know. And maybe that's in a few hours. We'll get an update on the Raptors game here in the next hour and a half, probably. If Gary Trent is back, okay. Maybe Bruce Brown doesn't belong in a full, all the way in ad. Maybe he becomes more of a watch list guy. But for right this moment, we don't have an update on Gary Trent. So I'm going to assume that he's out. And so Bruce Brown belongs on rosters while that's going on. So I'm going to call him an ad because I think he might actually stick even after Gary comes back. Call it a 30% chance. That's reason to add a guy. Cam Johnson is on the ads board. He probably didn't get dropped in your league because he wasn't out for all that long. But, there are playoff leagues out there where guys that are hurt for a week, week and a half, whatever it is, they end up getting dropped. Cam's rostership is down to 77. That's fallen pretty hard. So, again, odds are he's on a team. Odds are this is a name that won't matter to you. But if Cam Johnson got dropped, you better go out and look for him immediately. And then TJ McConnell is a really interesting one because he's not playing that much. And yet, over the last month, he's number 85 in 19 minutes per ballgame. 12 points, 5 assists, 1.3 steals. They're not asking him to do a whole lot more than that. Now, if Halliburton happens to miss a game or if Nembhard misses a game, you'll probably see those minutes tick up. And then you sort of tap into the upside with McConnell. But really, outside of one bad game, TJ's been pretty freaking good for about the last, dozen games in a row. He pretty much always gets you between 4 and 7 assists. He shoots a great percentage because he doesn't shoot three-pointers, basically. He had one game earlier this year where he made like 4 or 5 three-pointers. Mostly it's 0 or 1. His steals are always super high because he's just a ball hawk. And keeping his minutes around 20 has actually been kind of good for TJ because it gives him the energy to go a little bigger every once in a while. He's had, one or two games over this hot spell where he got 27 minutes and he exploded in those games. But in the other ones, they're just like, go full motor, get steals, run, make some passes, get into the paint, hit those weird little baby jumpers, shoot 50% or better, and go get your sort of normal fantasy stats. And it's one of those things where, like, I kept looking at it like, how can this possibly hold? But I do think the Mathurin injury has now played a role here. It's just opened up a handful of extra minutes that weren't there before, at least not regularly. So all of a sudden, McConnell's a guy that belongs on rosters, just en total. Couple of reminders, guys that were on last week or the week before or both. Naz Reid, Daniel Gafford, Kelly Olynyk. Please do just a quick sweep through your league. Make sure those guys are on rosters. You know, 9 out of every 10 leagues, the answer is going to be yes, but maybe you are in that 1 out of 10 leagues where one of those guys isn't. Somebody may have dropped Naz Reid if you're in a playoff battle because he had a 2-game week. Maybe someone forgot, assumed Gafford was on a team. Kelly Olynyk, people are still asking me on Twitter if they should use him as just a streaming slot. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know why this is still happening, but it happens from time to time. Again, you're going to hear this and you're going to be like, nope, not my league. And by and large, you're probably right, but just quick check it. Strong Holds is the next name on the board. Trey Murphy, who finally had his first slow game in a while, but the Pelicans got blown out. There is a chicken and egg thing going on with Trey Murphy and Pelicans' good game versus Pelicans' bad game. He is sort of the barometer. If Trey Murphy's hot, they're destroying teams because they can space the floor. And if Trey Murphy's not, then everybody can collapse and the Pels get run out of the building. Like, there's very little in between for that New Orleans club. Denny Avdia is a stronghold, although I think he just got listed as questionable right before we went on air. Yes. And Tyus Jones, by the way, just got listed doubtful. So that'll open up something else down in Washington. Yeah, and you're going to see more guys starting to get some rest on that team. They're moving into a back-to-back. So I would assume some of these guys sit one and play the other, whatever. Trey Mann, who's back for the Hornets. He was a stronghold while he was out. I didn't think he was going to be out for all that long, and now he's back. Grayson Allen, who never should have gotten dropped, but did in some spots. He's a stronghold. Keontae George for Utah, especially now moving into a very good scheduling pocket. Klay Thompson, maybe he belongs in the soft hold, but I'm going to keep him because, you know, a guy that can hit 4 3-pointers a game is, even if a lot of his stuff has been kind of annoying this year as he's aged very rapidly, there is something to be said for a guy that can go that level of elite in a category. Herb Jones, still a hold out in New Orleans. He's been very good pretty much since Dyson Daniels went down. Asar Thompson, who's been battling a nasty flu all week. I expect him back at some point soon. There's just only so long a guy can be out with a cold or a flu bug unless they tell us something else is going on. Hold, and then Gary Trent Jr., who's dealing with a groin thing. He's been questionable before every game so far this week. He has got downgraded to doubtful, and then now we sort of hold our breath for tonight. He's a stronghold in any league where you can. He was putting up some very big numbers before he went down, and there's every reason to believe that those generally pick back up when he returns. Soft holds. Aaron Nesmith, Marvin Bagley, Vince Williams Jr. These are sort of two really different kinds of players. Nesmith is a soft hold because I do think with the minutes he's going to get for Indiana, he probably does pretty reliably get to the top 100 range, and that's a guy that you should have on a roster. Even if just a few things don't break his way, he falls back into that doesn't matter group. With Nesmith, it feels like maybe a better than 50-50 shot. He gets to the top end of that doesn't matter collection, which is basically a startable player. And then Bagley and Vince Williams, these guys are soft holds, but only because I don't really know when they're coming back. We've heard very little on either of them. Unfortunately, Rashawn Holmes is also out in Washington. Then Tristan Vukovic just came over, so maybe he ends up playing a little bit. In the meantime, I'm assuming Marvin Bagley, well, I guess I should rephrase that. I think Vince Williams is probably back at some point in the next week or two. Bagley, I really don't know. He might just be done for all we know. Try to hold a little bit longer. Basically, I'm trying to hold these guys until we get some sort of injury reporting on them. At that point, then we'll have a better idea of what to do. But without any kind of report,
without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Can't really do anything on it. Sorry, lost in thought for a second there. Your internet did not break. The I'm scared list. Derek Lively the second. Earlier this week, I said I thought he was going to be kind of in that doesn't matter group. And I think I still stand by that particular valuation on Lively. He probably plays about 19, 20 minutes off the bench. Although if Kleba's out, then Lively moves a cut above that. If Kleba's in, Lively probably hangs out. He probably finishes in that like 120, 130, 140 range, which again, you could start that. It wouldn't be the end of the world, but you could also not start it and it wouldn't matter. These next two really make me sad. Needed a deep breath before it. Isaiah Hartenstein sadly is a drop. And it's the Achilles. It's not because I don't love Isaiah Hartenstein's fantasy game. You guys know that. We've been massive proponents of him for as long as we possibly could be. But in 19, 20 minutes of ball game, he's outside the top 150. He also doesn't really have his spring. So not only have the minutes been super low, but the blocks have tapered off. The steals have really tapered off. The rebounding is tapered off. Like everything is just tapered with him. And in a lot of instances, more than what you'd think it would based on just a decrease of playing time. It's the decrease of playing time on top of the fact that he's just not as jumpy as he was when his Achilles wasn't perpetually sore. And for a while, the answer was to sit on Hartenstein with the hope that, hey, maybe the Achilles gets better and the minutes, the restrictor plate comes off and he gets to play 27, 28, 29 minutes or whatever. But it just isn't happening. I think we're like 2 months into this thing now. That can't be right, can it? I mean, I don't think it's all that far off. When did the minutes cap start getting instituted? No, I guess it was sort of like beginning of February. So it's like a month and a half at this point where the minutes just aren't there. He has a couple of games mixed in where his rebounds were all right. He hasn't had a steal and a block in his last three games combined, which, yeah, I mean, that'll even out. He'll probably have a three steal, three block game coming up and we'll be pissed that we missed it. But overall, he's just not the same guy. And it's frustrating as hell because he's awesome for fantasy when he's healthy, but he's not healthy. And we're at a part of the year now where you can't sit on a player who's not doing stuff for you. And sure, Roto, you could just squat on him the whole rest of the season, but there are going to be a bunch of guys popping up here, silly season mode, that are just so much more fun to use a roster slot on. And the other one that makes me sad is Buddy Hield, who came into Philly and was just tearing the damn roof off the place. But also now he's just not even playing all that much. I guess that's not fair. He's playing some, but not nearly as much as you'd want. 21 minutes in the last ball game off the bench. Ugh. I mean, he's playing less than Kyle Lowry. Which frankly feels a little bit dumb, but it is what it is right now. With Hield, you could hang on a little bit longer if you wanted to, just to see if this thing pivots back in the other direction. But Lively, I think he's a doesn't matter guy. Hartenstein, I think you could even call him a doesn't matter guy. Trayce Jackson-Davis is the other name here. Liable to be a drop once Steph comes back, and Steph is targeting a return tomorrow, Saturday, in the Warriors game against the Lakers. Trayce Jackson-Davis was getting a bonus run because the Warriors wanted a rim runner, a big jumper alongside Chris Paul, who likely now slides back. I would assume Chris Paul comes back off the bench with Steph coming back. So Chris Paul will probably play with Jackson Davis in those lineups, but they don't need him in the starting five anymore because they can go back to the sort of the Steph, Clay space. The other guy's not providing much in the way of space, but Steph running pick and rolls with Draymond, Dre gets on the short roll, that kind of thing. It's that same stuff the Warriors have been running forever. That Trayce Jackson-Davis, you know, passing I'm sure will come along, but it's not really quite there yet. Big watch list coming up, but before we do, I wanted to re-welcome everybody to the show. A lot of viewers on Twitter right now, big, big number over there. It's been very cool. YouTube, I can see you guys are sort of still kind of trickling in. And I get it, it's Friday afternoon, so it's like, screw you, Dan, you're putting out a show end of workday, East Coast time. Yeah, I do shows when I can, people, when time allows. But I will ask all of you guys that are joining us here mid-show, or if you missed it earlier on, please follow me on Twitter at Dan Bespris, DanBesBris. And please go check out Fantasy MLB Today to catch our baseball coverage as we pivot into baseball season. It's beginning in a matter of like 2 weeks from yesterday is opening the official opening night. Dodgers and Padres are in Korea next week. Yeah, baseball's upon us. And also, you know what else is upon us? These electric razors from our friends at Manscaped. I really cranked up the charm on that one, didn't I? Oh, yes. Big smile. No, you know what? That's stupid. Because here's the thing. I actually really like their products. I really do. It's all I use for my facial grooming, which isn't great today, by the way. So I'm not a particularly strong spokesperson for Manscaped today. But in general, it is the only stuff I use. I use their lawnmower. That's the trimmer. The handyman I just held up on screen, that's the actual electric razor. I use the shears. That's the nail kit. It's sitting right here on my desk, just out of view of you guys. My hand just pointing right down over here on the table. I no longer need anything else because I have all this stuff from Manscaped. It's awesome. And you can get it too with promo code ETHOS20, ETHOS20. To get 20% off and free shipping on your order at manscaped.com. Hey, by the way, back at sportsethos.com, go check out a fantasy pass, baseball fantasy pass, all sport fantasy pass. Amazing deals running right now, and you get this all the baseball draft guide stuff rolling up to your baseball draft. So go check that out. Relevant links are in the show description. Discord link is in there. Manscaped link is in there. ExpressVPN link is in there. My Twitter's in there. The iTunes is in there. All that stuff. Whatever you need, show description. Go find it, and then please subscribe. God help me, I'm going to get you to do it. Here's the watch list, and I'll pause on a few names where I deem necessary. Dylan Brooks is on the watch list because of Alperen Sengun being out. We saw Brooks actually became fantasy playable when Van Vliet was down. He hasn't quite taken the big usage mega bump with Sengun out that I thought was possible, but it doesn't mean that it won't still happen. And if Brooks starts taking 15, 16 shots a game, then he ends up on fantasy rosters. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Great. Keep it businesslike. Slow-mo out in Minnesota, Kyle Anderson. I've had him perpetually on my watch list, and I had a number of people ask me why he wasn't an ad. And I'll say the same thing again that I said on that show earlier this week. He's just not, he doesn't have the same job on this year's Wolves roster that he had on last year's Wolves roster. For whatever reason, the pieces fit differently, so he doesn't have to distribute as much. The steals and blocks haven't been as high. And without that stuff, then he's not a fantasy play, at least not in 12-teamers. Jordan Goodwin, if he starts, you start him. He actually was active for the last ball game, but he came off the bench and didn't play all that much. So start if he starts, you start him on Goodwin. Santi Aldama, generally borderline playable when JJJ is out. Otherwise, I don't think I'm doing it. Jake LaRavia's, I mean, this watch list is all Grizzlies for the next quarter, like, of the hour. Jake LaRavia, who is pretty good at rebounding and getting steals, but can't shoot, so makes him a pretty tough 12-teamer. John Conchar, who actually quietly has an amazing 9-category game, especially if you're punt points, but he's another guy we don't really know if he's playing every game. So Trey Jameson, backup to the backup, big man. And that's all the Grizzlies I have on the board. A scant 6 of them. Thing I said on yesterday's show that I'll repeat here for this weekly show. When it comes to the Grizz, you pretty much just have to wait until like an hour before the game to make your call. If it's head-to-head, at least. And then Roto, a lot of leagues, the moves are for the next day. So you can't even really do it. So what would you do in Roto? Well, of the 6 names I just mentioned, you try to figure out the ones that you like the most. And you just squat on them until they're getting a start. So for me, that's Goodwin. That's Conchar. That's Luke Kennard. And if they have a start and enough guys are out around them, then I would use them for, you know, one game or whatever it is against the games cap and say, all right, maybe we can do this. Grant Williams is on the watch list. You could also probably put him on the doesn't matter club, although he's been better than that lately. So then the question is a cool down coming? And I'm inclined to think the answer is yeah, but we haven't really seen it yet. And his role is staying relatively large. I mean, you know, a lot of guys have been out on Charlotte. I'm kind of wimping out with Grant Williams, and I'm okay with that. Doesn't hurt my feelings to know that I'm not really playing him all that much. Brandon Podziemski is on the watch list for me. He was streamable with Steph out, and he would have been on the injury replacement board. But now that we assume Steph is back tomorrow, Podziemski drops back from injury replacement to watch list. Rashawn Holmes is on the watch list only because of his health status. If Holmes is in, then you play him because that means he'd be starting. If Holmes is starting, then he has the easy 100 range. That's a freaking no-brainer. Their games are tomorrow and Sunday, so we probably won't know more about Holmes until tomorrow, so you don't need to really worry about that today. But he is definitely a player to keep an eye on. Norman Powell, depending on what the Clippers do, it sounds like Kawhi is not missing this ball game. Neither is Paul George. We don't know about James Harden, but as we saw in yesterday's game, Bones Highland was actually the guy that stepped up and had a bigger role. Rui Hachimura is on the watch list in case he ever starts to rebound. I mean, I don't expect it given what we've seen so far, but he is shooting the ball at an extraordinary clip. So if you add one more thing, then he'd be playable. But I don't think that one thing is coming. And here's some far-reaching names. Jonathan Isaac. This is not a head-to-head move. But if ever there was a time to consider it in head-to-head, it would be right around now. Orlando plays every other day starting from Wednesday of this week, 2 days ago, until Saturday of next week. So the schedule is not particularly heavy, but they go today, they go Sunday, they go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday of next week. If you are in a dogfight in threes and defensive stats, Jonathan Isaac could potentially help win you a week because no one else is going to touch him because he's a disaster waiting to happen. But again, he's liable to play in all of those ball games, and that's the thing you're really worried about with him. Alexei Pokuševski is a watch list guy just to kind of see what his job looks like in Charlotte. He played a decent chunk of minutes in their last ball game, and he put up an okay fantasy line. But I got to see that again and again and again, and probably honestly two or three more times before I'm like, all right, fine. I buy it. I don't yet. But he has an interesting fantasy game. We've known that for a while. When teams go into big-time tanks, weird stuff happens. Keon Ellis out in Sacramento, although it sounds like all of the Kings' normal starters were participants in practice today. So I would assume that Keon Ellis goes back to the bench. And then Jock Landale out of Houston is interesting as the backup center. His minutes have been around 26 in each of the two games since Şengün went down, which is borderline. And that's why he's on the watch list. And now everybody's favorite page. Ta-da, the injury replacement board. This is actually my favorite page, even more so than the ads. The injury replacement board at this time of year has some like legitimate studs blended in on it. And for me, a guy who plays mostly roto, being able to isolate and play dudes stepping into a giant role that just didn't have it prior to an injury happening, that's like gold. Because you can just pluck those guys off the waiver wire, throw a huge line into your lineup, and then move on 2 days later if you need to. It's roto streaming instead of head-to-head. Roto streaming is you're looking for the one-game sample where a guy goes crazy. Head-to-head, you're looking for the guy who plays the most games in the fewest number of days, even if they suck on half of them. You just want minutes. Roto, you want numbers. And so there are some big names on this list. The big names, of course, are Josh Hart, who's been dominating for a while now and continues to do so, nearly at a 2020 triple-double. Al Horford, who's been great with Porzingis sitting. Big Al putting up those nice numbers. Vasilije Micic with Cody Martin out in Charlotte has been putting up some nice numbers. Duncan Robinson. Tim Hardaway Jr. with Luka out. These are guys that are putting up like big fill-in numbers. And then Bones Highland, actually. had a way better than expected ball game with no Harden. I don't think it would be that good again, but felt like we needed to give him a shout out. And then there's sort of like the next tier down of injury replacement guys that are still putting up pretty good lines, but maybe trend a little bit closer to the maybe pile, the doesn't matter pile. Kelly Oubre Jr., Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard. Those guys, of course, with Boston playing back-to-backs against some really bad teams. So you'll see more guys than just Porzingis out for those. Nick Richards with the, when Mark Williams out is very much kind of like an in-betweener. Malik Beasley, who missed the last ball game, but Middleton being out. Beasley's been an in-betweener kind of guy. I don't know why I started to slouch a little bit there. Let's sit back up again. Pat Beverly, if Middleton plus, and last time it was Beasley, but if Dame sits, Pat Bev would be sort of a middling one. Dennis Schroeder, I think, is middling now that Cam Thomas is back. George Niang is kind of middling with Max Strus out. Corey Kispert, I actually like a fair amount. He doesn't have a super robust nine cat game. It's typically points threes on good percentages, which is kind of hard to get. But I like Kispert. You can put him at the top of this secondary group. And then Simone Fontecchio with Ausar Thompson out, because he, much like Kispert, doesn't have a super robust nine category game, but does score and hit threes and get some steals. And so there's oftentimes enough there. It's just there's no guarantee that it's going to be enough every day. And then the only name I think I skipped when I was kind of going out of order on this was Paul Reed, who I continue to look at and go, why am I so skeptical after I gave a glowing recommendation to this dude? And I just keep feeling like the other shoe's going to drop. And he puts up good fantasy numbers. And even when his minutes were a little bit lower, he was still able to squeeze out a little bit of stuff. Something about Paul Reed just makes me nervous. And I can't put my finger on why. But that said, he's a start right now. Unquestionably, Paul Reed is a start right now. So nervous or not nervous, Dan, you better get over it, because this is a guy that belongs in lineups. Quick check of the chat room. See if anybody brought any names up that I didn't talk about. We're not doing the, like, do I start this guy or the other guy? Someone says Trace Jackson is a strong hold. I think I disagree on that one. But a lot of his big surge here was without Steph. And as I said earlier on, I think you'll see him move more to that smaller reserve role. Although, did he earn himself a few more minutes? Maybe. I just think the Warriors are in a weird position because, you know, CP3's not going to lose much in the way of minutes, and Wiggins is now ramped back up to normal minutes, and Clay's got his normal minutes, and Kuminga's got his normal minutes, and you just got to slot Steph in, and you say, all right, well, where is it coming from? And it's going to be, you know, a little bit from a couple different places, but like if you look at their last ball game, you say, all right, well, where, you know, who got more minutes than usual? Kevon Looney played 17 minutes. Maybe that goes to maybe all of his minutes go to Trace Jackson Davis, who, again, like 25 minutes for him doesn't seem likely to repeat itself. So I disagree on the strong hold. If you really wanted to put him in soft hold, you could. But I would beg of you guys to look at the numbers he was putting up in the games before Steph got hurt. And a couple in there where he started to get hot. And Steve Kerr tends to reward guys as they start to play a little bit better. But we're talking about a guy who went a month without clearing 12 minutes of ball game, basically. So call it a soft hold if you want. That's as aggressive as I'm willing to get on Jackson Davis, who the field goal percent is kind of floating him lately. He had a couple big blocks games mixed in, but he also had a couple games where he got none. So don't overextend yourself here. Even if he is what you'd call a soft hold, over the 2 weeks without Steph, weakened some odd, he's still, these last couple where he's played 25, 26 minutes, he's been better, but he's also shot 33% at the foul line. He's actually outside the top 140 because of free throw shooting over that span. You say, oh, well, if you take that out, yeah, okay, maybe, but he also is shooting 76% from the field over that stretch. 25 minutes, 11-8 with 1.3 blocks. Could you call that sustainable? That part is, if you don't worry about the percentages leveling off. And that's outside the top 100. Barely, but it is. So, I'd go as high as soft hold. What are the names that folks bring up that maybe I didn't? Kai Jones, not interested. Many names here that I didn't cover on today's show. Nikhil Alexander Walker? Nah. People asking questions like I didn't do a whole thing at the very beginning of the show saying this is not a streaming show. This episode is a week in review show where if you're trying to figure out what to do with streaming, go listen to the other one. I went into a lot of detail. It was almost a half an hour on streaming because we talked about the weekend. We talked about early next week. We talked about which teams to isolate. It's all in there. I promise. Bad schedules, good schedules, pickups, drops, all that good stuff. This show is about the guys that I think can make an impact in that sort of 100 range or better versus outside of it. Are they schedule plays or are they play them every day guys? Are they hold through bad schedules? Is it that kind of thing? That's what these shows are about. These are the big overarching ones. And then in our other show right now, because we're in the playoffs, we do break them up into two episodes. That's where we really take the microscope to, okay, what guys are good enough now because their schedule volume is good enough? What guys aren't because their schedule volume is trash? So I hope you guys are able to sort of come along for that little journey. All right, here we go. Set your lineups for tonight, everybody. I'm going to try to get a show out to you tomorrow. Wait, let me check my family calendar while I'm right here on air. We're going to flip through what's going on tomorrow. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff in the middle of the day, isn't there? Maybe I can get one going first thing in the morning. We'll figure it out. Throw my hands up in disgust. Either way, thanks so much for watching, everyone. I hope you guys are continuing to subscribe. Let's continue to grow this thing. Likes are good. Subscribes are good. Follows are good. We're near towards the end of the season, so I realize this is a weird time. We're like almost exactly 1 month away now, aren't we? April 14th. Yeah. Less than a month away from the end of the regular season. Hang in there, everybody. 4.5 weeks left. Maybe your season's ending this week. Maybe it's ending next week. Maybe you're getting into your playoffs now. We're going to keep trying to usher you through. And the second that season ends, we go right back into off-season stuff. I'm not ready. I don't want to do a long off-season. It's so long. I'd be like, Dan, take up fantasy baseball. No. No. I will play recreationally in a free league. But when NBA is over, I can't put my brain through that again. And not to say that I don't need 6 months to recover, but I need like a month to recover. Meaning, and you can't just like skip a month of fantasy baseball and still be kind of good at it. All right, wish my kid luck. He's got back-to-back Little League games today and tomorrow. It's a rain makeup game. Yeah, it rained out here. It was stupid. I'm Dan Bespris, at Dan Bespris. One and the same. This is Fantasy NBA Today. Sports Ethos presentation. Hasta mañana.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.